Welcome back to the Unanimous Decision Podcast. I'm your host, D-Palm. Follow me on Twitter at D-Palm66. Follow the show on Twitter at UDPod. Follow the entire MTR Network at, you guessed it, the MTR Network. You found us. Don't you dare lose us. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe everywhere. Get your podcasts for free 99. I keep recording video, and eventually I'm going to do something with it. Like, and it's so funny because I do this show on Mondays. I record on Monday evenings. Little peek behind the pod curtain. And I do that because, like, the weekend happens and I have my weekend I can spend with my kid. Like, go to hell. Sorry, it's just my life now. But by Monday, like, everyone's got their takes out and kind of like pick and choose the things I want to talk about. I forgot free agency started today. So everything I thought I wanted to talk about is gone and just into the shredder. And we're going to talk about it all. We're going to talk about NFL free agency. We're going to talk about maybe some NBA stuff if we have time. We're, of course, going to start with college basketball and a fantastic weekend that was. There's no better person to do it with than the producer of CBS's Eye on College Basketball podcast, Nat Edwards. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. A Monday evening, and here we are discussing college basketball, and we're going to probably discuss the more entertaining version of college basketball right now.
Okay, so this has gotten weird because anyone who's ever heard this podcast before is like waiting for the sniping to start. And honestly, so am I. So I'm a little taken aback at how, all right, are we going to
give it time? Give it time. Okay. Just give it time. The jousting will continue. I just did that to intentionally make you feel uncomfortable.
That threw me off my game. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're welcome.
Tis the season, because this was a fantastic weekend of college basketball. And if you think I'm talking about the men's game, I do not know you. Personally, I've never met you. You're a person who doesn't exist because I've seen the ratings. Let's start in Caitlin Clark country, Iowa, going to overtime in a fantastic game.
Like, can I be honest about that game?
Please.
The minute that went to overtime, you knew what was going to happen.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, the coldest, hottest take ever, guys.
I know. But you knew.
Greatness to be great in great periods.
But the thing is, like, Nebraska controlled so much of that game.
Like, you saw something in her eye at the half. Like,
no.
Like, overtime. No. Yeah, we all knew this.
No, but a minute. Like, the fact that Nebraska had that and then Nebraska did it away is the most Nebraska thing that's happened in, like, Nebraska history in the last, I don't know. Well, non-Matt Rule era, at least in the last 5 years or so.
Like, watching that happen, like, having – we're all – you know, you and I've evolved into a podcast where I just talk to other black men of a certain age. But then I have to explain to people that it's not one of those podcasts. And I'm like, well, yes. Now I found – like, anyway. The fact that we watched Nebraska get whittled away, and we all – it was just like, oh, this is – yeah, you just – it wasn't even like a – it was a Patrick Mahomes. You left too much time on the clock.
Listen, that was like watching Jaws. That's like watching Jaws, and Caitlin Clark is Jaws, like, yes. Quite literally, just like, oh, they don't see the shark fin. Oh no, please get the shark fin. No, please. And then shark already got him. It's done.
The fact that the game was like in question after an undeniably horrific Caitlin Clark first half.
Yeah,
I was like, oh no, this is fine. She's going, this is the kind of stuff that, is she producing her own 30 for 30 right now? Who knows?
Listen, the thing is, there wasn't enough Caitlin Clark hyperbole, and all she did was add to it and justify it. All of it. It's like Han Solo in Force Awakens. Is it real? Yes, it is real. The Force is real. All of it. That's what Caitlin Clark did.
It's ridiculous. Like, and it's so weird because, like, the discussion about her has gotten lost in the larger discussions about everything else in the world. But objectively, watching her play basketball is amazing. Mm-hmm. She's in control of, and the person who actually, like, who I caught this weekend, who I watched more of this weekend than I had all season because of I've just had life. Juju Watkins is a freshman. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same kind of level of control. Like, it's a thing that where you're like, oh no, this is the thing that bends the idea of what this kind of college basketball can be.
like quite literally, Juju Watkins brings balance to the Force. Mm-hmm. Like that's how that, and I hate to throw the Star, actually, no, I don't hate to throw the Star Wars thing in, but quite literally, like, the closest thing I could come up with for Caitlin Clark is ironically the person who she passed in points, Pistol Pete.
Yeah.
Just the control of the game. Because the facilitating is what, like, she can shoot the hell out of the ball, but the passing, the table setting for all those other scrubs.
The passing and stuff, that's where I'm like, what if LeBron had gone to, like, Akron?
Yeah.
Like, what if LeBron had played like mid-major basketball for like three seasons?
Oh, jeez.
Like, it's no, but that's one of the reasons why I was like, inequal. People were like, is she going to stay? I'm like, she can't stay. Like, I'm sorry. No. Like, she's outgrown the ecosystem that she's found herself in.
She took the COVID year, guys. She took the COVID year.
This is why college, Bo Nix's numbers are weird because of the COVID. Bo Nix will go down in college football history as like some sort of success story. And I want everyone to know that he was run out of his family's position at Auburn by Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's the thing. Like she did this in four and a half years. She could have come back. She decided, you know what? All these endorsements are only going to get greater the minute I leave Des Moines. Like every other smart person that has left Iowa in the history of Iowa.
Look, in the history of Iowa, they've all tried to get out.
Yeah, it's New Jersey West.
Wasn't going to say it. Was totally thinking it. Let's talk about the other two big games of the weekend. And lo and behold, they both involve South Carolina. I want to talk about the semifinal game first, the Tennessee game. The heartbreak on that Tennessee sideline. The decision to take your first three of the season. Because that's how you defend that. That's who you want taking that shot. That was well done by Tennessee.
And it didn't matter.
And it didn't matter. Not even a little bit.
It was the wildest thing. It's like Kelly Harper and Tennessee have them in checkmate. You think. And then Camilla Cardozo, who was the star of the weekend, as far as I'm concerned, for multiple reasons.
Relax. We're just for multiple reasons. We're going to talk some mania stuff, too. Don't you worry.
but all I'm saying is Camilla Cardozo banks the three in, sends them home, back-to-back. Like, I know we're going to get to the fracas, and I have takes on that.
I think it's lower than a fracas. It's a brouhaha.
Fine, brouhaha. Brouhaha, absolutely. But to be like, can we show like the greatest coach in college basketball in basketball period some love?
Like, because so when I have next to this note here, it says South Carolina semifinal team of destiny.
Yeah.
This team has not won a regular season basketball game in 2 years.
Yeah.
Dose consecutively in a row. In this era, not in the era where kids were trapped for 4 years. Nope. Not in the era where you could stockpile talent. We're talking about the and you know, I'm going to go ahead and make a statement here. You know more than me, so slap me down if I'm wrong. The single greatest collection of women's basketball talent we've ever seen.
I would honestly argue last year was better.
Fair enough. Okay. But it's the doing it in this era, the era of
when we're talking about spreading it out. But think about it like this, to buttress your point. South Carolina had 5 lottery picks last year, 5 WNBA draft picks last year. They came back and they still haven't lost a game. That's the greatest coach. And on top of that, probably if people in my industry were a little bit smarter, probably the best ambassador for either college basketball or basketball period is Dawn Staley. For reasons that we have to get into now, I think.
For reasons that I'm about to talk about. So thank you for the lead in. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a producer for a living. So we're going to talk about the game itself, but I want to talk about the coaches after the game. So what happened in South Carolina, LSU. These are two teams who to coin a phrase, just plain don't like each other. Like, yes. These are two teams. Like, and I'm going to talk about this afterwards when we talk. I'm talking about the big things first. I'm talking about the cool thing about this to me. The bigger thing here is the reaction of the coaches. Kim Mulkey, this is what I say to people sometimes. I want her to call herself and lead that as a voicemail and then listen back to it and hear how you sound.
Yeah.
This is why people don't like you, Kim. This is why people have a hard time reconciling how we feel about LSU and how we feel about you.
I mean the Brittany Griner stuff alone, quite honestly.
I am doing my best to make this about this singular incident, because the other side of it, Dawn Staley, no condemnation of either side of players. She agreed that they made mistakes. She said they both, everyone took it too far. And she left it at that. Because.
And did you see everybody, all the South Carolina alums, starting with AJ Wilson, saying, "That's my coach, y'all"? You see all that on Twitter? Because I did. I saw all that.
And it's, for me, it is one of those things where you couple things like this with, like, the decisions happening at University of Florida, and you're like, oh, we can be reaching some real flashpoints where, like, Florida may have turned themselves into Ole Miss. Like, it may have happened overnight. Like, I remain skeptical of in-mass, like, boycotts, but I do, because, I mean, like, let's be honest, they haven't been recruiting well anyway. How can
exactly. That's only another reason not to go.
Like, that's our recruiting fill up. Prove it. I mean, like, we've seen the last few classes.
Like, that's the thing. Like, and you bring up such a great point, Palm, because, again, this is not like Dawn Staley's doing this in Richmond, Virginia. Ooh. She's doing this in Columbia, South Carolina, which, mind you, had their own band from 2001 to 2005 over the flag. Think about this. It's not that simple. Have you ever, like, think about, like, the amount, the lack of transfers in the era of the transfer portal. How many people do you know actually leave Dawn Staley? They don't.
So, for me, the biggest example of why I'm so high on Dawn Staley and the job she's done there is I look at kind of the population theory of, like, states. She coaches at the second school in a talent poor state, population wise. And to do what she's doing and then add the backdrop of everything you're talking about, where Nikki Haley's lying about her role in taking down the flag because now she's ashamed of it, which it's a larger commentary on, like, what happened to society. And, this isn't that podcast. Not tonight. I'm tired.
No.
But, like, can we talk about the cool part?
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
This is why we like sports, dog. Like, I like sports for people who, like, build animosity over the course of, like, 18 months of, like, and it's not even like, oh, this person said something, this person said, it's just like, I don't like this motherfucker and I have to go against him to get to what I want. Like, that, this is why, this is what the men's game used to promise us.
This is what the men's game used to promise us. This is, and I hate to put it this way, this is just what the WNBA just having 12 teams does. It creates a logjam to where these women have to stay. Because otherwise, there's nowhere to go. And after Brittany Griner, do you really want to go overseas and play? I'm not so certain about that. So this is like a product of a whole bunch of different things. But at the same point, there's this animosity. You know these players. There's a familiarity with these players. And unfortunately, you're never getting that back in the NBA, in men's college basketball, barring the NBA setting an age limit that will probably get overturned in court, and or the NIL packages actually, like, enticing people to stay.
The NIL thing is something I heard mentioned already, because They're talking about how this may buttress the return of college basketball. I forget the gentleman's name who's going to be going to Duke next year.
Cooper Flagg?
Cooper Flagg, thank you. It sounds racist. I'm not sure if it is. It feels racist. But he's going to Duke, so it'll fit in great. But, like, him going away from, like, the G League Ignite, which has been a massive failure, or even, like, overseas to play for a year and then go to the NBA.
Yeah.
That's, we've seen how that's worked out more recently. Hi, Scooter. It's not, ooh. Anyway, yeah. I think that because NIL money is actually real and actually like attainable, and because the NCAA has tried to lead from behind yet again, we're in a position where that college basketball might get cool again. Like, it might get fun because I might learn these kids. Like, that's one of the things. It's not just about having names I know, which I don't know any names. I do know one name, Kyle Filipowski, who feels like a Duke. Like, super villain.
He'll be back next year.
Lab. He feels like all the Duke I've ever hated in one person. It's amazing.
Palm, you say that, and I promise you, Cooper Flagg is that, but he's actually talented.
Like, and so this is, so that's it. He's just, he's the 1.0 of Cooper Flagg, and maybe that's it. Because I watched him play this weekend, and I didn't like him immediately.
Yeah, no, he's the beta version. He's the beta version.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hate him next year.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Have any idea how much I'm looking forward to that?
That's my way in. Pure anti-Duke.
Do you have any idea? Like, do you have any idea how much I'm looking forward to the racial animosity that is, it's going to be the salad days, baby. We're going to have 1 year of people hating Cooper Flagg. Now, mind you, if he's not good, this all falls apart.
No, if he's not good, then you can sell him for 3 years.
Ooh, that is true.
They sold Tyler Hansbrough for $4 million.
Well, the thing is, like, Cooper Flagg, let me put it this way. Cooper Flagg might not only be, like, the savior for college basketball, but for the white NBA fan, if he's good, and I think he's at minimum prime Gordon Hayward, at minimum.
Is he Canadian?
No, he's from Maine.
Oh, he's close. Don't say no, like that's not almost Canadian.
I know.
But he's American. We got an American white guy. That does help a lot of stuff, honestly.
Yeah. It helps me. Helps the clicks. Helps the downloads. Trust me.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Do you feel that, like, so, like, I've been recording the videos while we do these lately. Do you feel like if I were to, like, snip some of these and put them out, would it drive – do you find that drives people to the podcast at all? Or do people just consume the social bit?
It absolutely move on? It absolutely does. What I would tell you is, yeah, no, it's extra work. Honestly, this is where you absolutely go find yourself a college intern that knows how to use TikTok, pay them okay, and have them put the podcast on TikTok. And just give them time codes. That would be my suggestion. Because it's a pain.
All right. Well, like I said, I had other things I wanted to talk about because I love talking basketball with you, but football spilled everywhere. And
yes,
I want to start with the funniest contract for me. And that's Russell Wilson signing to the Steelers for the league minimum. The fact that someone paid you I'm willing to eat $80 million to make you go away.
Yeah.
Like, that's some real distaste.
That's distaste, but also, like, we got to remember who's the one that decided, yo, I'm going to burn $80 million of my owner's money and to make you go away. You got to remember that portion of this, too.
Okay, so you're too good at this because you skipped ahead to the back half of this point. Before we get there, I want to talk about the impact on the Steelers. I think it's funny to watch people cut bait on quarterbacks that we all knew were bad, but that certain media entities had vested interest in pretending were good. Hi, Mac Jones. But I think Russell Wilson to the Steelers might actually drive George Pickens insane.
Yeah. There's a part of me that thinks that this works because it's not Kenny Pickett. And I think not being Kenny Pickett helps.
And then you remember that Arthur Smith's the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Like, the only person this helps is Najee Harris. if we're honest. Like, let's be real. He's the only person that helps. He's the only person that helps. Everybody else, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, like, yeah, y'all ain't seeing nothing.
Y'all free George Pickens, please, because first he was trapped by being in at Georgia, and now he's trapped by whatever the fuck keeps happening at quarterback in Pittsburgh.
It could have been worse, though. It could have been Kenny Pickett. Now, it still might, but...
It's like, they have no vest... Like, sometimes they're like, oh, they wouldn't bring him in unless he was promised a starting role. Sir, they gave him the minimum.
Exactly. They can cut him if they want.
They could cut him and not think twice about it.
Yeah.
So this is a flyer. This is a little dangerous. I mean, I don't know. It's now a big dumb little ball. Go ahead.
Also, remember, that man stopped in Newark to the Giants and called an impromptu meeting with them. Tried to have a meeting with them to drive up the price from the minimum. He knows what time it is.
And the Giants' thirsty asses took it. like that's yes, the Russell Wilson part's funny. The Giants part's way funnier to me.
Yes, way funnier. Exactly.
And then I'm like, wait, and then you know, Russ's camp leaked it. And like if you read the story and ask one question, wait, why did the Giants show up? Like, then the story gets really like them being collateral damage is hilarious to me.
Exactly. Especially considering, I know your next point, them burying their $40 million project.
They saw what we saw.
I know. But
they got eyes.
Still, they buried him. How often do you see, they buried that man to Rich, they buried that man to Rich Eisen. It's one thing to do it to Joe Beningo. It's another thing to do it with Tiki Barber. And mind you, the Joe Beningo thing is a deep cut, and only if you have listened to overnight radio or midday radio in New York City do you get what I just said. But most importantly, you leak it to one of the WFAN guys, that's one thing. You leaked it to the NFL Network's Rich Eisen, who has a national radio show. National.
I was trying to explain this to someone. I'm like, you do know his checks say NFL on them, right? But you do understand, like, what linking to Rich Eisen... It's not a leak. It's basically a press release.
Yeah. The only bigger way you could do that is basically give it to Ian Rappaport. That's it.
They basically came out and just said, we've made a huge mistake.
Yes. Like, that man essentially decided, yo... We're not going to, like, we can't do this anymore. And most likely, like, I'm just trying to figure who it was directly, because it was either one or two people. The coach who I can't name for whatever reason. Oh, Brian Daboll. Yeah. It is either Brian Daboll.
He was a genius, remember?
Or Joe Shane.
He was a genius.
Yeah, exactly. And or it was one of two people, Brian Daboll or Joe Shane. That's it. Those are the only two guys that would do something like that.
It's a dangerous
brain anybody test, else? My friend. Yeah. And the fact, and honestly, the fact that, and this should be the wake-up call to anybody in that locker room, if they're willing to do that to the $40 million project who they gave guaranteed money to, they're willing to do it to you too. Just a warning.
Before we go on to who else decided to read the tea leaves and get the fuck out of town, I want to talk about what's left in Denver. Because you touched on this earlier, not only are you doing this and taking all this money, but you're trusting a man whose name is Sean Payton. Nada, can I ask a question that I'm going to go ahead and just, I'm going to tell you right now, it's rhetorical.
Okay.
Why would you trust Sean Payton?
Because he was on Fox.
Do you know who the last quarterback Sean Payton bet on was?
Wasn't it our favorite? Why can't I remember his name? I'm having a bad
memory. His name is Taysom Hill. He has one ACL. Do you know what the contract he gave Taysom Hill the day Drew Brees retired was?
Wasn't it like $20-something million or $20-something million a year?
So I was talking. So one of my best friends, Adrian Dimko, came down this weekend. We played ball together at Columbia. Met my son. It was a great weekend. And we were talking about this. And we were both sitting on the couch, like, trying to think, like, wait, how much money did he give Taysom Hill? And we both said numbers like you said, but of course, because we have the internet on our phones, we eventually looked it up. Mm-hmm. The day Drew Brees retired, the Saints signed Taysom Hill to a four-year, $40 million contract.
Oh, dear.
And this is the man you've decided to trust?
And mind you, aren't they in the back half of the top 10? Yep. They're drafting J.J. McCarthy, aren't they?
They're about to make a huge mistake.
They're about to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Watch. And for those of you whose first podcast this is with me, thank you for joining us. J.J. McCarthy is going to get somebody fired.
Yeah. Except for maybe
if he goes to Denver, he might get everybody fired. Like this, and this is something else that I kind of think is a kind of a meta point. What do you think about the impact of coaches getting these long-term deals? Because without the power of the mini-year deal, Sean Payton can't clear house like this.
No.
He can't.
Yeah, but how many of these teams has it actually worked for?
Okay, so that's what it's worked for the Rams, and that's it.
That's it.
But
how well that worked.
My other question is, are stall-out decisions better? Because the Giants are done with Danny Dimes. Saquon read the tea leaves, got the hell out of town. They gave a lot of American dollars to a running back in 2024, a running back who I've been very vocal about my opinion on.
Yes.
Who's running behind a line who just retired their 12-year center who was basically a stabilizing force for the line in its many permutations and successful permutations over the last 12 years. So whatever you're going into, it is literally an unknown situation as far as offensive line, right?
And the coaching situation may not be a good one. May not be any better than the one you just left.
I was not even going to be like, for Saquon, who gives a shit? Like, he's got his money. Like, the number is the number. Like, go get paid, young man, get paid. If you're an Eagles fan, rut-row, Raggy.
Especially when you weren't sure that you were going to bring Sirianni. Like, they were hemming and hawing about bringing Sirianni back after all of this. Because
Fletcher Cox just retired.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox just retired. Kelsey retired. And you lost a lot of talent.
You brought me a running back.
He's the Adam Dunn of running backs. And I know you don't play. He's your 210 hitter that hits 40 home runs a year.
Okay. Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
It does. Because, like, I just – and, like, if you've ever heard me do this podcast or other podcasts, I've said this since he was in college. Yes. Like, I've never liked him as a running back. I don't see it. Maybe I'm crazy. But, yeah, that's a lot of money to someone in the year 2024. Because now we're talking about, are the Eagles stalling out before making a big rebuild decision? Speaking of stall out decisions, I'm recording from Atlanta, Georgia.
I want to
make something very clear. I am not a Falcons fan. I've been a Falcons fan. But on the day that they chased the rapist with no backup plan, I said, this cannot be my life. Because at that time, Georgia was winning back-to-back national titles. On Saturdays, my life was fantastic. On Sundays, my life was hell. Why would I disrespect the hard work of those young men in Athens? I wouldn't. So I became, what's your boy from Parks and Rec?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name, but I do.
Whatever. Buddy who wears the NFL hats. I represent the Shield.
Rob Lowe. Yeah.
I'm Rob Lowe. I am the Shield. I enjoy NFL football from a perspective of not a fan of a team, but of the game, my friends. My life is fantastic. Every Sunday is fun.
So how much fun did you have trolling your actual Falcon fan friend?
I want to read some numbers to you. Thanks for asking. Kirk Cousins signed a contract today for 4 years for $180 million with 100 of that million guaranteed. For his career. I do make jokes about this man because, honestly, it's hilarious. But let's tip all of our caps to the legend at the bank because this man has amassed $330 million in guaranteed money and provided one playoff win in his career.
And that
the Falcons. That playoff win was I am not done.
Okay.
The Falcons passed on giving 26-year-old Lamar Jackson $200 million so that they could give 36-year-old torn Achilles survivor Kirk Cousins $180 million. Now I'm done.
I was going to ask you, so when did we talk about the Fields part about this? Where you would rather give $180 million on maybe Kirk Cousins being back to what he used to be, rather than trade maybe a second day, a day two pick, day three pick for Justin Fields and bringing
him home? This is an astute reading of the room. That talent they've amassed on offense does not need someone to grow with them.
That's true.
They need someone who's going to get, if not the most out of them, a consistent amount out of them.
Fair.
So I see the vision of Kirk. Do I understand it? Yes. Like from a football perspective, yes, 100%. I think that you've got so much youth on the question for me is always going to be health, because I feel great. Here's a quote you're going to hear this offseason. Best shape of my life.
Yeah.
You're going to hear it. And that's always the death knell. And it's 4 years. And it's, and I get, like, this is the thing. It's the NFL is a sport. So is the NBA. If you think the window's there, you have to strike. You can't say, oh, let's hope this window stays open.
No. That window's, yeah.
And their internal, like whatever they've got internally, this decision tells you they think they've got it. They've looked at their division and said, wait, we might got this. Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave Baker Mayfield $100 million.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can't say, like, the tallest short person in the room is still the tallest short person.
A playoff is a playoff is a playoff is a playoff. And they expanded this bitch? They gave us more spots? Yeah, man. This is a Raheem Morris regime looking to make the playoffs early and set some kind of tone here.
Well, as a black coach, if he doesn't, he gets fired in year two.
I think it's cute. You think he'd get to year two?
That's true.
If he'd had Justin Fields, this would be a week by week situation. I'd be like, "Do not sign a long term lease, sir." I'd stay on that month to month. Personally.
That's well true. Arthur Blank is like, we can do certain things. We can have certain representation on the field. We can't fully be represented by Atlanta on here. So I get your point. I get your point.
I do want to talk about Mac Jones, because I was told that I just didn't get it.
Oh, boy. Mac. Well, you know what? He's home. He's home.
Stop. Don't do this.
He's home.
Don't
give him that. He's home.
Let him. Can I ask a silly question?
It's your podcast. You might as well.
Do they still believe in Trevor? I thought we saw a bit of a plateau from him in game last year. And whether I see it or not, I've been told by people who know these things that people do somehow believe in Mac Jones. And it only takes one. As I've told everyone, it only takes one person in this league to say, I can fix him, or I can change him, or I can get the most out of him. It only takes the one person to convince themselves that you're worth the investment.
What if it's not? I guess I would throw this back at you.
All right.
What if it's not a talent thing? What if it's a control thing? And by that, I mean, Doug Peterson will be like, Mac is just talented enough to do the things I want, but not talented enough to buck.
So Doug Peterson thinks he's Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Yeah. Except to be fair, Doug Peterson has a ring. Kyle Shanahan does not.
That's a really good point. Maybe Kyle Shanahan thinks he's Doug Peterson.
Yes. Like, but that's where we're at. Like,
that's fantastic to say out loud. That was a lot of fun. Ugh.
You're welcome.
Kirk Cousins leaves the Vikings in a bit of a lurch, doesn't it?
Did you see who they're thinking about replacing him with?
Oh, say something funny.
Sam Darnold. That's the rumor.
That's just sad. Wasn't even funny.
It's 2024. People still believing in the myth of Sam Darnold. Like, we haven't seen him fail multiple times. Let that man go be rich man's Nathan Peterman and leave him alone.
As Bomani Jones would say, GTBW.
Yeah.
Let's talk some NBA for a second before we move on to wrestling, because I know we're going to talk about some wrestling.
Yes, we are.
What's going on with the Celtics? Because, like, I objectively know that this is a great collection of talent. And I think it's weird that we as a nation refuse to believe in them.
I mean, it's very simple. Like, they feel like that, you know how sometimes you order your steak rare? And sometimes they feel like the steak that hasn't been seared properly enough, that rare steak that's not seared, it's still a little bit of pink. And you don't want to send it back because, well, we all work in restaurants. We know you don't send food back. You just deal with what you got. So that's what they are. They're that underdone steak. But unfortunately, you went to Steak 48 or you went to Peter Luger's and got poor experience. So that's what they are right now. They're not there yet. And there's a part of me that just feels like they try to do this thing where they're different than everybody else, where they don't have a real point guard, where Brown initiates the offense, where Tatum initiates the offense.
Right.
And they just feel like they're a dude short. And for a team that has a quote-unquote MVP candidate, you should not be a dude short.
I catch myself every time because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, they're so young. But then I remember that, like, LeBron went through them when he was still in Cleveland the second time. Like, and everyone's like, oh, they need more post-season experience. If you keep going and coming up short in the same ways, what's the difference going to be this time? Why would we believe in a difference this time? And I want to believe.
Because
I want to believe the team that I watched win over the Warriors by 50 is the team they can be. But then I watched them get put in a garbage can by the Nuggets and have no – do you know they are the team where Jokic has his second highest points per game against?
Yeah, of course, because he knows he's got to turn it on. Like, he's like one of the five teams Jokic knows, shit, I actually have to work today. Everybody else, I can give you the C-plus game and go from there. But for
C-plus is still like a low triple-double.
Exactly. It's like 13 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Like, against Boston, he's like, okay, I'm going to have to go for 30, 20, 10. I might even give you about 3-4 blocks too. Like, that's the kind of effort he's going to have to do. But the Celtics are empirically good. It's just... it's almost the Luther curl doesn't just all the way curl. That's what they are. That's what they are.
Can I believe in the Lakers a little bit?
No, stop it. Please. Don't do it to yourself.
I'm not like.
No, Palm. Normally for the bit, I would let you believe.
That's some fun.
Come back and something. No, I would normally do that, but since I am trying to be a better person, and goddammit, I might as well start now. I will not let you believe in this Lakers team that is going to get thrashed by whomever. You want to see them get put? We talk about putting them in a garbage can. That's a 4-1 sweep by the Oklahoma. Like, that's 4-1 Oklahoma City's Thunder sweep, like gentleman sweep coming in the postseason. That's where we're headed. You know it.
I believe in magic.
Sir, if this was the other way around, you'd be calling me seven ways of moron, and I would deserve every single way.
Look, So when Dimko was in town, I was talking about, like, do you ever struggle connecting with people who were just fans because you did too much sports? And he's like, yeah, I don't have it in me to be like, oh, so-and-so lost, my week is ruined. Like, I don't have that. Like, they lost for a reason. Here are the reasons why they lost.
Yes.
But LeBron James fandom is the only place where I'm going to allow myself that. I'm going to allow myself to let go. He is pro wrestling to me. It's all about the theater. The theater says he shows up in an Undertaker shirt and finds a way to get swept in the Western Conference Finals by the Nuggets like last year. Like, that's fine, but it's still a Western Conference Final appearance. So that's pretty impressive at 40 goddamn years old.
Let's just appreciate the man, that the man can still remain relevant with that cast and that coach. Well, it's a meme, but at the same point, like, I like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, this is the most reliable Anthony Davis has ever been in his career, and it's still not good enough. That your third best player is D'Angelo Russell. Think about that. Austin Reeves has turned back into the mid-level guy that he is.
That ended quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of this that is just the magical LeBron. And the LeBron pixie dust wearing off a lot of these dudes because he can't do it like he used to do it because he's 40, and that's okay. What you really don't want to see, because here's the thing, Palm. Do you really want to see, like, because this is the way this will go? You remember Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, right?
All right, hold on. Look, no. We're moving on because I'm about to get mad at you. Moving on.
You know I'm right, though.
I want to thank everyone who's listened so far. There is no cool way to talk about professional wrestling. Like, there's no cool way to do it. So we're about to talk about professional wrestling. It's not going to be cool, but it might be fun. So thank you for wanting to stick around. They sent Sting off right.
Yes, they did.
And that means I'm a mad. Lot. Why are you mad?
I'm mad because it was in Greensboro. It's a 2-hour drive, and I missed out. It's a 2-hour drive.
You had your reasons not to go, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, it was a weekend, and, you know, unfortunately, day job stuff. Yes.
Yeah, but. How dare you have a job and career that you're good at and you love? Let me ask you this: the new injections of talent in All Elite Wrestling, Okada, Mercedes showing up this week. Is this? So I've been critical in the last few months. I've used the words money mark a bunch to describe Tony Khan.
And you haven't been wrong.
Is this more of that? Because, like,
yes,
it does feel like a little bit like Dynamite, like 1.0, where it feels like it's more directed towards a singular, like, interwoven story. But again, maybe I'm seeing what I want to see.
Here's the thing. What gives you the idea that they have a plan?
The Young Bucks characters finally.
Okay, and
that's a huge step for them, in my opinion. That they finally, I've got a reason to like and or hate these guys. Thank you.
Yeah, by using Okada, who is probably like greatest.
But the EVP stuff and the heel stuff with Sting and Darby, they did a good. I've enjoyed what they've done with them as characters, because for me, for a long time, that was a disconnect. It was like, yeah, they do a lot of cool shit in the ring, but why would I give a damn?
Fair. I'll put it this way. The reason not to trust them isn't because of Okada or Mercedes. The reason not to trust them is because you can go look at what they're doing with Swerve right now and... That's the reason. What they're doing with Swerve and the fact that they are going to delay this title run for as long as possible till it no longer matters.
They're going
to
Wardlow.
Or even worse, they're just going to basically destroy that for Ospreay, for Will Ospreay, who, mind you, had the greatest match that I have.
As we get critical, I do want to point out that I would love, the more we can feature Will Ospreay, the better, objectively.
But that's the thing. Like, Swerve has been your hottest product for at least 8 months.
Then let him be the foil for Ospreay. Let them do it at the top of the card.
Exactly. But that
I think there's still room for that. There's still room for that.
Do you trust them to do that, or do you trust them to basically make him a stepping stone for Wardlow on his title run? Because I think that's what's coming.
I think they're going to
not trust him.
Yeah, you're right. I can't guess what they're going to do because they never do the thing I think they would lead to longer term booking. Let's go to the other side of the street. WWE doing a fantastic job building to the biggest show of the year, WrestleMania. The Rock, again, you didn't make wrestling cool, but people were talking about it. I don't know if that works or not. John Cena's naked in public because he can't help himself.
John Cena went D'Angelo just so he didn't have to take a whole bunch of bumps this week in April. That's it.
He's going to be there in April.
Yeah, he's going to be there as a host. He ain't taking
bumps. No, he's bumping. He's bumping. If Dwayne bumps, he's going to bump.
Okay, I might go there
if
with you.
If Dwayne's working a match and that's probably true. Involved in two main events in two nights, man.
Man, look, that's true. That's true. Either way, like we talk about, you talk about Mania.
Man.
Dude. Like the first night, like night one, unfortunately, is on the same night, I believe, as the Final Four. So I will be in Arizona watching. I'll be in Arizona working. Night two is my night off. Bro, I'm finding like anyone knows a decent wrestling bar in Glendale with people that use deodorant, mind you.
It's a very important caveat.
Like I need one because I'm going to go, I might be amongst the people like, and by amongst the people, I mean by myself watching this event because I need to feel the power because night two feels like it's going to be epic.
I'm epic. Very excited. This is Matthew's first at WrestleMania. 40 is going to be a good starting point for him. Before we get out of here, I got to ask, have you played 2K24?
So, I texted you and you told me that you already had it and yes. you had the deluxe edition. So you had it a couple days early. Fortunately, I got a little bit of wedding money. I treated myself to that deluxe edition. Good I am you. Addicted to GM mode. again, I'm at the WrestleMania showcase. I wish they would have let you opt out of the Hogan matches. But valid, that's my valid. Complaint. That's my valid. Complaint about this game. Because whatever they did with 2K23, they were like, you know what? We got a real good formula right here that Man. We really don't need to mess with. And instead, we're going to add a little bit more of that razzle-dazzle to make you feel good. Remember, again, and now I will put it this way. Anyone that comes to me telling me that No Mercy is the greatest wrestling game of all time, You're just telling me you're broke and you don't own a PS5 or an Xbox. That's the only thing you're telling me.
I love it.
Greatest video game of all time.
We're ending on broke shaming people. That's fantastic. Now to tell
it's me. Were you expecting any different?
Like just to close out with a heel promo on his way out the door. Tell me where they can find.
I told you I was getting there. I told you. I warned you.
He's never told a joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Well. To start, I am not like this when I produce my podcast, Ion College Basketball, which is going to get you through March Madness. We are going to go basically every single night. We're going to recap everything in March. I will be sleeping 3 hours a day, probably, if I'm lucky. And then on top of that, we are also covering the women's game, the talent to be announced. And so those podcasts will be out. They will be on YouTube as well. And in the Ion College Basketball feed, you will love it because you know what? We're not just going to devolve into what did Caitlin Clark do? We're going to talk about everybody. It's going to be one of those podcasts. And hopefully it launches into the Ion College Basketball universe. And then I get to be James Gunn of college basketball on CBS. And hey, that's always a good thing to be.
But also when Caitlin Clark does do shit, you can talk about that too.
Oh, no, that's leaving the show. I ain't stupid.
My man's not stupid at all, y'all. Thank you for coming on, brother. I really appreciate it. That was your show. We're going to be back on Friday with Felder. don't know what we're going to talk about. The Love is Blind reunion. He's not going to talk about that, but we'll find a way around it. That was your show. There is no outro. See you guys later this week.